Welcome to the Good Health Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Good, a certified functional medicine practitioner, registered nutritionist, and author. In this podcast, we delve into the world of energy and immune health and wellness with positivity, from optimal health and energy to stress and burnout, right through to immune conditions such as thyroid and autoimmune disease. We deep dive into functional medicine, nutritional medicine, and lifestyle medicine, as well as the personal stories of our amazing guests, from Olympians to famous faces, and guest experts from all different parts of the health and wellness world. It's time to stop letting your health hold you back and become the optimal version of you. Don't forget to come and join the conversation on Instagram at good_health, that's G-O-O-D-E, or visit the website nicolegoodhealth.com to find out more. Welcome back to the Good Health Podcast. I'm Nicole, your host, and in this series, we've been unpacking stress in a very different way. Not as something that lives purely in the mind, but as a biological state that shapes how the body functions. In the last two episodes, we've explored what chronic stress really is, how it rewires the body, and the different stress patterns that I see every week in clinic: wired, flat, immune-driven, and burnout-style stress. Today, we're moving into the more practical side, but before we jump into tools and strategies, there's something important we need to look at, because a lot of people are trying to regulate stress already and accidentally making things harder for themselves. This episode is about how to support your nervous system safely based on where your body is at right now, not by forcing calm, not by doing everything at once, and not by following advice that isn't matched to your stress pattern. My aim today is to give you practical, usable steps that you can take without overwhelm and without burning yourself out further. So one of the biggest misconceptions about stress regulation is that it's all about calming down. People are told to breathe, to meditate, to relax, to slow down, as though the nervous system can simply be instructed to switch states. And for some people, those strategies genuinely help. But for others, they can do the opposite. They can increase frustration, restlessness, or even stress. And that's because regulation is not about applying the same technique to every nervous system. It's about matching support to the state the system is already in. A nervous system that's in high alert doesn't need the same support as one that's shut down. A system that's exhausted doesn't benefit from the same strategies as one that's overstimulated. This is why well-intentioned advice can feel confusing or discouraging. Someone swears by cold exposure, breathwork, or intense exercise, and you try it only to feel worse. That doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It means the tool isn't matched to your physiology right now. The same technique that can help one nervous system can stress another. Regulation works when it meets the nervous system where it is, not where you think it should be. And this is such an important shift because it moves stress recovery away from performance and into responsiveness. So instead of asking, what should I be doing? The question becomes, what does my system need right now to feel safer and more supported? Another trap people fall into is trying to do everything at once. They overhaul routines, they stack multiple practices, and create a long list of things that they should be doing, which often becomes another source of stress. So I want to reassure you here, you don't need to do everything. Stress regulation doesn't require a complete lifestyle redesign. One or two aligned changes, when they're matched to your stress pattern, can be enough to start shifting that physiology. Small, consistent signals of safety are far more effective than big, unsustainable efforts. And I often give my patients lots of different things that they could look at and that they could try, but tell them just to pick one or two things that work for them, that they like, that doesn't feel like it's difficult to get into their routine, because that's just stressing them out even further. In the rest of this episode, I'm going to walk you through practical regulation strategies for each stress pattern that we've discussed. You don't need to try all of them. Simply notice which section feels like it's describing you right now and take one or two ideas from there. If you haven't yet listened to the stress pattern episode, you might want to jump back and listen to that in last week's episode. Regulation is not about fixing yourself. It's about supporting your nervous system so it no longer has to work so hard to protect you. Stress regulation works best when it's matched to your current nervous system state. And that means having a rough sense of which stress pattern is most present for you right now. And I really want to say this again. I know we talked about this last week, but you don't need to fit neatly into one category. So many of you, when you listened to last week's episode, will have recognized aspects of more than one pattern, and that's completely normal. Stress responses overlap or they shift over time, and they can change depending on load, recovery, illness, and life circumstances. The aim isn't to really strictly label yourself here.
It's simply to notice that what feels most true at this moment in time. So which pattern do you feel is the most dominant for you right now? And as that shifts, you may need to shift up the things that you do for stress management. When you think about how stress shows up in your body right now, a few gentle questions can help you to orient. Do you feel wired or flat? Is your mind busy while your body feels tense and restless? Or do you feel heavy, slowed, and slow in drive? Do you crash after effort? Do you notice delayed fatigue after physical or mental exertion, where you feel relatively okay in the moment but maybe pay for it later on? Or does stress tolerance feel fragile? Do small demands feel overwhelming? Does your capacity feel much lower than it used to, even though your life hasn't necessarily changed that much? None of these experiences are right or wrong. They're simply signals. So if you're not sure which pattern you're in, go back and have a listen to last week's episode. Find the one that stands out most clearly and then start there. Come back to this episode and go through a few of the recommendations. And if you're not quite sure which pattern you fit into, that's okay too. It may help to go back to last week's episode and just gently just tick off the symptoms that you feel within each pattern and see how many you have in each one. Where you have most of those symptoms coming up, that's probably where your most dominant stress pattern lies. But remember, your stress pattern isn't who you are. It's just where your system is at right now. It reflects how your body's been adapting to load. It's not a permanent state or a personal identity. Regulation works best when it's responsive, not exhaustive. So with that, let's jump in to some of the recommendations for each of the patterns. So if you recognized yourself in the wired stress pattern, so the busy mind, the tense body, the difficulty switching off, the most important thing to understand is this: your nervous system is not overreacting. It's responding to perceived threat. Regulation here isn't about calming yourself down. It's about reducing threat signaling and helping the body to feel safe enough to stand down. Wired systems are often very good at activation. They're alert, they're responsive, they're capable. What they struggle with is deactivation. So the goal of regulation is not to suppress energy, but to gently guide the system out of high alert. One of the most effective places to start with this pattern is the evening. For wired systems, evenings often carry the most stimulation. So bright lights, screens, intense conversations, planning, scrolling, problem solving. Even things that may feel relaxing on the surface can help keep the nervous system switched on. And you don't need to remove everything. The aim is just to soften that stimulation. So dimming the lights earlier in the evening, reducing screen exposure where possible, being mindful of emotionally charged conversations late at night can all help with signal safety. And this isn't about perfection. Even small changes, a lamp instead of overhead lighting, stepping away from screens 30 minutes earlier, maybe talking to some people in your life in the morning or at lunchtime rather than in the evening, they can all help signal safety to the body. And they can all make a meaningful difference over time. Another key principle for wired stress is downshifting without forcing relaxation. So many people in this pattern will try to meditate or lie still, and they'll just feel more restless as a result. And that's because a highly activated nervous system often finds stillness threatening. Instead, think in terms of gentle movement. So a slow walk, especially outdoors, can be incredibly regulating. Rhythmic movement, things like Pilates and yoga, fresh air, and visual input from nature all help to reduce threat signaling without demanding stillness. Grounding through the senses is another powerful tool here. This might look like noticing physical sensations, so the feeling of your feet on the floor, the temperature of water on your hands, the texture of clothing against your skin. Sensory input gives the nervous system something to concentrate on and to orient to, which can reduce mental overactivity. Importantly, this is not about doing it right. It's just about offering the nervous system an alternative focus that feels safe and predictable. And then we can move to that morning regulation. So this also plays a crucial role for wired systems, particularly when their cortisol rhythm is disrupted. And if you're not sure, we can do adrenal testing to look at your cortisol pattern over the day. Exposure to natural light early in the day really helps to anchor that circadian rhythm and supports more appropriate cortisol timing. Even just a few minutes outside in the morning can be beneficial. And if you can't get outside, just looking out of a window at morning light can also help. Pairing this with a predictable morning routine, so something that is simple and repeatable, further reinforces that sense of safety. And that's what we're looking for all the time in this pattern, is safety. Wired systems often thrive on predictability. Even if they resist routine conceptually, predictability is really important. Another thing in the wired pattern that we can look at is caffeine awareness. And this is another area where small adjustments can have a really big impact. This is not about eliminating caffeine entirely. For many people, that would feel like too much. Instead, it's just focusing on timing. So maybe delaying caffeine slightly in the morning. So rather than using it immediately on waking, we can support a more natural cortisol signal. We can avoid caffeine later in the day as well. So reduce that evening alertness and improve sleep quality. Think of caffeine as a tool, but not a crutch. Use it intentionally rather than reflexively. Delay that morning coffee a little bit and maybe bring any that are later in the day further forward. Generally, we don't want to be drinking caffeine after around 12, 1 o'clock. And then just as important as what helps is what tends to backfire in wired stress patterns. So we've already said forcing stillness when the nervous system is highly activated often increases restlessness. So aggressive breath work, particularly techniques that involve long holds or rapid breathing, they can feel really destabilizing rather than calming to people in the wired stress response. Late intense exercise can also prolong activation, especially if it becomes another form of adrenaline output rather than regulation. So timing of exercise is going to be important for wired systems. You want to do it earlier in the day. And again, none of these things are inherently bad. They're just mismatched to this particular stress pattern that you're in at the moment. And the key reframe you need to think about here is wired systems don't need more discipline. They need permission to stand down. They need that safety. Regulation here is about removing that constant pressure to perform, to achieve, to optimize. It's about signaling to the body repeatedly and consistently that it no longer needs to stay on high alert to keep you safe. And that signal doesn't always come from effort. It comes from gentleness, from predictability, and from small moments of ease that are repeated over time. If you're in the wired phase, repetition is your friend. So now let's have a look at some regulation tools for the second pattern. So this is flat stress. And if you've recognized yourself in the flat stress pattern, so the heaviness, the low motivation, the sense that everything takes an effort, the most important thing to understand is that your system isn't failing, it's conserving. And again, we've talked about this in the last two episodes. So if you haven't listened to those yet, you might want to jump back and have a listen. Regulation here is not about rest alone, and it's not about pushing yourself back into action. It's about gentle activation. So supporting the nervous system to come back online slowly without overwhelming it. Here, the system is low, whereas in the wired pattern, the system is high, it's overactive. It's completely different. And this is why we need to look at different regulation tools to support both. So flat systems will often struggle with flexibility. They find it hard to move into activation, but they can also get stuck in inactivity if rest isn't paired with regulation. So the aim is to introduce small, safe signals of movement and engagement. And one of the most effective tools, the most effective ways of doing this is tiny doses of activation. So this might be a short walk, not a workout. We're not target driven. We're not doing anything high intensity. Just a few minutes of gentle movement. The intention here isn't fitness. It's signaling to the nervous system that movement is safe again. Gentle strength work can also be supportive when approached carefully. So this could be simple body weight movements, light resistance bands, or even just functional movements. The key is to stop well before fatigue hits. Flat systems respond best to the message, I can move without being pushed, without becoming exhausted. And then again, some predictable structure can help here. So this is another powerful regulator in this pattern. When energy is low and motivation is reduced, decision-making becomes more draining. So if you're finding that it's harder to make decisions, you might be in this pattern. Having a consistent wake time, having regular meal times, and simple daily rhythms reduce that cognitive load and provide a sense of safety. And it doesn't need to be rigid or be perfect. Just a loose structure can help the nervous system to feel more supported and less overwhelmed. Also in this pattern, we want low pressure engagement. So social contact can be regulating when it's safe and expectation free. So a short conversation, a walk with a friend, even being around others without needing to perform, being around people who feel safe can all help to bring the system back into connection. The key here is removing pressure. Flat systems will shut down even further if they feel judged, rushed, pressured, or expected to show up in a certain way. Who you mix with and how you mix, how you have social contact is really important here. It should feel really safe and there shouldn't feel like any pressure to have to do something. And one of the most underestimated regulation tools in this flat pattern is language. So how you speak to yourself matters. Harsh internal narratives, so calling yourself lazy or unmotivated or weak, they all reinforce that threat signaling. They tell the nervous system that it's not safe to be where it's at. Reframing self-talk towards neutrality and compassion can be profoundly regulating. Statements like, I'm supporting my system today, or this is part of recovery, all help to just reduce that internal pressure that you put on yourself. And again, it's just as important to know what to avoid. So pushing motivation rarely works here. Waiting to feel driven before acting can lead to frustration, while forcing action can increase exhaustion. High intensity exercise is often far too much for flat systems, at least initially. It doesn't mean you can never do some of these exercises again. It just means that at this point, it's going to deepen fatigue and reinforce shutdown rather than restore flexibility. Equally, excessive rest without any regulation can also backfire. So while rest is essential, prolonged inactivity without any gentle activation can keep the system stuck in that conservation mode. So the key reframe here is very simple. Flat systems don't need pushing. They need support to help get them back online. Regulation in this pattern is about rebuilding trust. Trust that the body can engage again without being overwhelmed. And trust that small steps are enough. When flat systems feel supported rather than judged, energy often begins to return, quietly, gradually, and sustainably. Now let's move on to look at the immune-driven stress. If you recognize yourself in the immune-driven stress pattern, so disproportionate fatigue to what you've done, crashes after effort, slow but unpredictable recovery, the most important thing is to understand that your body's not failing to cope. It's just prioritizing defense and repair. Regulation here is about reducing inflammatory load, pacing activity carefully, and protecting recovery so the system has space to heal. And one of the most valuable tools in this pattern is energy pacing. Many people with immune-driven stress only notice they've overdone it once that crash arrives. The fatigue is often delayed, which makes it tempting to keep going when you think you're okay in the moment. Pacing means learning to stop before exhaustion. And that means before exhaustion hits right now, and before exhaustion will hit you later. Not because you're weak, but because your system doesn't yet have the reserves to recover easily from that overexertion. This can feel counterintuitive, especially for people who are used to pushing through. But consistently stopping earlier than you think you need to is one of the most powerful ways to reduce immune stress over time. And closely linked to pacing is post-effort recovery. So instead of waiting for a crash to force rest, the aim is to build in recovery after any effort, even if the effort felt manageable. So even if you feel like you've done something and you're not going to feel tired later, you should still have recovery built in after any effort. This might mean an enforced period of rest after a walk, or resting after a busy morning, or after a cognitively demanding task. Not as a reward, but as a preemptive, preventative strategy. Resting before crashes sends a very different signal to the nervous system and the immune system. It tells the body that it doesn't need to escalate symptoms in order to be heard. Immune calming basics matter enormously here. So giving these signals to your immune system is absolutely vital if you're in this pattern. Sleep timing is also particularly important. So going to bed and waking at consistent times supports circadian rhythm, and that plays a key role in immune regulation. Regular nourishment helps to stabilize blood sugar and provides the immune system with the resources it needs without creating additional stress. Skipping meals, fasting, or relying on stimulants often actually worsens fatigue in this pattern. And these basics may sound really simple, but they are foundational, and you wouldn't believe the number of people who are not doing them when they are in this pattern. And when these foundations are unstable, immune stress is highly likely to persist. It's going to be very difficult to get you out of this pattern if you are not doing these immune calming basics. Movement also needs to be approached with care in this pattern. So gentle movement, things like mobility work, stretching, or slow walking, they support circulation. They're going to reduce stiffness without triggering inflammatory stress. The focus here is on maintaining movement, but not building endurance. We're not there yet. It's mobility over intensity. It's consistency over effort. One of the most important parts of regulation in immune-driven stress as well is also knowing what to avoid. So graded pushing, where activity is increased on a fixed schedule regardless of symptoms, often backfires. This is not the way to go. Training through fatigue can enforce immune activation and lead to deeper or more frequent crashes. Comparing your recovery to others as well is deeply unhelpful. Immune recovery is individual, and timelines vary widely depending on history, load, and support. This is where many people struggle emotionally. They want to be back where they used to be. They want to bounce back. They want to get back to normal. But the reassurance that I want to leave you with, if you're in this pattern, is supporting recovery is not giving up. It's just giving your body space to heal. And you've usually reached this point because you haven't given your body space to heal. When immune-driven stress is respected rather than challenged, the system often settles more quickly. Energy will become more predictable, crashes reduce, and recovery improves. This pattern does not respond to force. It responds to patience, to protection, and to consistency. And they are not signs of weakness. They're signs of intelligent care. So now let's move on to pattern four, the burnout style stress. If you've recognized yourself in the burnout style stress pattern, that loss of tolerance, the poor recovery, the feeling that your capacity has simply disappeared, the most important thing to understand is that your system isn't broken, it's depleted. Regulation here isn't about calming down or even activating gently. It's about rebuilding that capacity, restoring safety and reducing demand so the nervous system has room to recover. Burnout style stress often develops after long periods of coping. The body's already been resilient. It's already pushed you through. And now it needs a very different type of support. One of the most impactful regulation tools in this pattern is demand reduction. That doesn't mean that you have to withdraw from life and do nothing. It means identifying non-essential drains, so the things that take energy without giving anything back, and consciously reducing them where possible. This might include any overcommitment that you've got, constant availability, unnecessary multitasking, or internal pressure to perform at a certain level. Looking at your diary, pulling back on those overcommitments, making it so you're not constantly available, switching phones off and emails off after work. Not multitasking, but focusing in on one task at a time. Even these small reductions in demand can significantly lower stress signaling. External structure is another powerful support. So when adaptive capacity is low, decision-making becomes exhausting. Creating clear routines, regular wake-up times, simple meal patterns, predictable daily rhythms, these are going to help in this pattern as well. They're going to reduce that cognitive load and help the nervous system to feel more contained. Fewer decisions means fewer stress signals. Predictability is deeply regulating for a burnout system. Knowing what's coming next, even in small ways, reduces that vigilance and allows the body to stand down slightly. Nervous system safety is central here. So this might look like gentle containment, so quiet spaces, consistent environments, limiting stimulation, and avoiding any unnecessary urgency. The system needs signals that it is no longer required to be on high alert. Permission to recover is not passive, it's active regulation. So many people in burnout struggle most with releasing that urgency. There's a strong internal drive to get back to normal, to fix things quickly, to return to a previous level of functioning. But urgency itself is stressful in this burnout pattern. It's telling the nervous system that something is still wrong, still unsafe, still needing immediate action, and you're still going to push your body. Letting go of that urgency, even partially, can be profoundly regulating. This doesn't mean giving up. It just means allowing recovery to happen at a pace that the body can actually sustain. Again, we have some things that we can avoid in this pattern. So productivity-driven recovery, so where rest, movement, or self-care become tasks that need to be completed or metrics that need to be optimized. It's often reinforcing pressure rather than relieving it. And sometimes here, we need to let go of the data. Some people, when they're in this pattern, are going to have to let go of watching their HRVs and their sleep quality. You just need to take that pressure off yourself. It might be beneficial to let go of the data and just go off how you feel. Fixed timelines for getting back to normal as well, they can create frustration and self-criticism when the body doesn't comply. And it's very likely in this pattern that the body won't comply at some point. Burnout recovery is not linear and it rarely follows a predictable schedule. And one of the biggest things I see in clinic is the people with burnout, one of the first questions they always ask me is, how long until I feel better? How long until I can get back to intense exercise? They're the questions that always come out of these people's mouths. That in itself is damaging to burnout recovery. The key reframe here is burnout recovery isn't about bouncing back, it's about rebuilding. The system you're rebuilding doesn't need to look like the one you had before. In many cases, you actually want a more resilient system than what you had before. You want one that's more aware of limits and better supported so that you can actually break those limits. But that only happens when recovery is treated as a process and not a race. Burnout style stress asks for patience, protection, and compassion, not effort. And when those conditions are in place, that capacity can return. So by now, as we're talking about stress through these episodes, you may have recognized yourself in one of the stress patterns that we've discussed or in a few of them. And you may also be holding a few ideas about what could help you. Before you take any of that forward and start implementing it into your life, I want you to pause here, because this is often where people accidentally turn regulation into another source of stress. There's that tendency, especially in people who are already stretched, to do everything at once, to take all of these suggestions, all the tools, all the ideas, and build a long mental list of what they should now be doing. So I want you to gently interrupt that pattern. You do not need to do everything. In fact, doing too much often backfires. Regulation doesn't respond well to intensity or urgency. It responds to that safety, repetition, and consistency. Choosing just one or two practices from this episode that feel aligned with your current pattern is more than enough to start shifting that physiology. And remember, you can always come back to this episode, listen to it again, and pick out another step when you're a little bit further down the line and you feel like you're ready to introduce another one. But you do not need to make dramatic changes. Small, repeatable signals of safety done consistently is far more effective than big efforts that can't be sustained or that knock you back. And this is where the idea of consistency becomes more important than intensity. The nervous system learns through repetition. It responds to what happens again and again, not to what happens occasionally with a lot of effort behind it. A short walk most days is more regulating than an intense session once a week. A consistent bedtime routine is more impactful than a perfect night's sleep that is then followed by chaos. Regulation is built slowly through patterns that the body can trust. Another important piece here is feedback. Your body will tell you whether something is helping, not always immediately and not always dramatically, but through subtle, simple changes. Slightly better sleep, slightly fewer crashes, a little more predictability. All of these things, these subtle improvements, are what we're looking for. We're not looking for dramatic change. Paying attention to that feedback matters much more than following the rules or sticking rigidly to advice. If something feels supportive, keep it. If it constantly leaves you feeling worse, it might not be right for your system right now. So let it go, even if it's helpful for someone else. This isn't about perfection. There is no right way to regulate stress. There is only what helps your nervous system feel a little bit safer over time. And that brings us to the message I want to leave you with from this episode. Regulation happens through repetition, not effort. You don't need to try harder. You don't need to do everything optimally. You don't need to get everything right. You just need to offer your body a few consistent signals that it's supported and allow it to respond in its own time. By this point, you may be thinking, I can see what would help, but it still feels hard to know where to start or how to do this consistently. And that's an important thing to acknowledge. Stress regulation isn't conceptually complicated, but it is practically challenging, especially when your nervous system is already under strain. When capacity is low, decision-making is harder, guesswork is stressful, and trying to piece together support from lots of different sources can quickly become overwhelming. This is where structured pattern-led guidance can make a real difference. When support is matched to your stress pattern, it removes the uncertainty around what to do and when to do it. You're no longer trying to apply generic advice to a very specific nervous system state. A stepwise approach also protects capacity. Instead of doing everything at once, support is introduced gradually in order for the body to be able to tolerate it. And that sequencing matters, because the right thing at the wrong time can delay recovery. Inside the Good Health Studio, we focus on structure, sequencing, and safety. Structure provides that clarity. You don't have to decide what comes next. Sequencing prevents overwhelm and crashes, and safety allows your nervous system to settle enough for real change to occur. Depending on when you're listening to this episode, it may mean joining the studio waitlist, which is open now as this episode launches, or it may mean joining the studio directly. Either way, the link is in the show notes below, and the invitation is the same: support that removes pressure rather than adding to it. You don't need to do it perfectly, and you don't need to do this alone. As we come to the end of this episode, I'd invite you to have a think about which stress pattern feels most present for you right now, not as a label, but as a snapshot of where your system is today. And then from everything that we've talked through, which one change feels the most supportive? Not the biggest or the most impressive, just the one that feels the most realistic and kind to your body. You don't need to fix your nervous system. You need to support it. And support doesn't have to be complicated. It starts with understanding, consistency, and a willingness to meet your body where it is. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you've enjoyed it, then please do like or share the episode. And I'll see you next week on the Good Health Podcast.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Good Health Podcast. Do share the episode with anyone you think it may benefit and help us to spread the word on all things health and wellness by rating, liking, or subscribing to the podcast. If you want more, you can listen to more episodes on your favorite podcast app or sign up to my newsletter for my favorite tips, tricks, health advice, brands, recipes, and more at nicolegoodhealth.com/newsletter. Have a lovely week. Don't forget to hit subscribe and I'll see you on the next episode of the Good Health Podcast.